Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Would you please be seated? All right, we need to practice some more. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. And again, one more time. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Hold on to that because we're going to need it at the end of the sermon. In the pew in front of most of you is a red book. A cross presses itself into its cover. That is our Book of Common Prayer. The worship service that we're using this morning comes from that book. Across the Episcopal Church and across the Anglican Communion, the world's third largest Christian communion, of which the Episcopal Church is a member, across these millions of people, people pray with books very similar to this one. We call it the Book of Common Prayer because it holds the prayers we have in common. Inside the book hides a delightful service called a thanksgiving for the birth or adoption of a child. I love leading this service in hospital rooms or when the family returns to church after a birth. The service brims over with gratitude and joy. But at the very end, in italics, some instructions demand attention from ministers like me. Now, this is a long sentence. People who write these books like long sentences, so just bear with me. It says, the minister of the congregation is directed to instruct the people from time to time about the duty of Christian parents to make prudent provision for the well-being of their families and of all persons to make wills while they are in health, arranging for the disposal of their temporal goods, not neglecting if they are able to leave bequests for religious or charitable purposes. Whew, it's a long sentence. But in other words, when I come to the hospital room, it's part of my responsibility to remind you that you are going to die. And you'd better start getting ready. Now, if the disciples were expecting anything this Passover weekend, it was not Good Friday. It was not a death. Despite all that Jesus told them, despite the numerous times he predicted his death, they waved it off. They did not believe Jesus was going to die. They were not ready. They expected a triumphant Messiah. They received a man riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. They expected a conquering hero. They received a man washing his feet, their feet. They expected someone who would hit back at the Romans and send them, tail between their legs, back where they came from. They received a man who turned the other cheek all the way to beatings, all the way to a crown of thorns, all the way to a revolutionary's cross. On Good Friday and Holy Saturday, it seemed like humanity's old enemies, sin and death, triumphed. Sin still enslaved them. Death still held dominion. Nothing had changed except the scattering and shattering of their hopes. So when the women come to the tomb on Easter morning, they come as mourners. They bring spices to complete Jesus' burial. Death had come for Jesus, and none of them were ready. Now we have to face the simple fact. Very likely, we will all die. Are we ready? This is not an abstract question. The prayer book instructs me to help you prepare in concrete ways. Making a will is a Christian duty, and I'm supposed to remind you of that. And now I've done so I'm not going to talk about it again for a while. Yes, that's supposed to be funny. Laugh. It's okay. But preparation goes beyond the death of our bodies. Death comes for each one of us at multiple times in our lives. Are we ready? For the grown-ups in the room, were we ready to die to our childhood? When it was time to settle down from our early adventures and join society as upstanding citizens, were we ready to die to our freedom? When it's time to allow metaphorical or physical children to grow up and leave, will we be ready to die to that phase of our parenthood? When it's time to end the career or other vocation that has characterized our adult life, will we be ready to die to our occupations? Now, I know this hits close to home, but when our kids come to us and tell us it's time to stop driving, will we be ready to die to our driver's licenses? When it's time to walk the path to death with another, will we be ready to die to the illusion of our immortality? And finally, after we have enriched the lives of our physical and or metaphorical children and grandchildren, our bodies will finally catch up to the deaths that visit each of us along the journey of a life well lived. But most of us, most of the time, run away from these opportunities. More often than not, we run away from death into isolation. I can't tell you the sadness I feel when I sit next to someone close to death who is not ready. One woman, many years ago now, her skin yellow from a failing liver, looked me straight in the eyes and told me that God would heal her because she hadn't found her purpose yet. She spent her whole long life running away from physical death, isolating herself from her family and children, and stepping away from the pain that each of the little deaths of a life well lived bring us. And she ended up dying alone. Death is coming for each one of us. Are we ready? The women come to the tomb on Easter Sunday expecting to anoint a body for burial. Instead, they find an open tomb. The giant stone sits off to one side. The entrance gapes in front of them. They go in, but cannot find the body. Suddenly, two men stand next to them and proclaim that Jesus has been raised from the dead, just like he said. They rush to tell the disciples, who dismiss it as an idle tale. But one of them can't stay seated. Peter runs to the tomb, goes inside, and finds it true. No body lies there. He goes home amazed. You see, on Easter Sunday, Jesus disarms death. The prophet Isaiah prophesied a time when no one will be hurt or destroyed on God's holy mountain. Paul lays out the chronology. Death came through a human being. In the same way, the resurrection of the dead comes through a human being. He writes, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. At the end, when all is finished, the kingdom will be handed to the Father. But only after Jesus tramples down every ruler and every authority and power. Paul writes, for he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. On Easter Sunday, Jesus disarms death. In another place, Paul tells us that when we are baptized, we die with Christ. He tells us that because of this, death has lost the weapon it used to dominate us, fear. In Jesus Christ, God disarms death for each one of us, which means that we can stop running away from death and start running through death towards life, just as Jesus did. It means embracing our responsibility to prepare for our mortal deaths, yes. It means embracing the opportunity presented by each of the deaths that greet us along the course of a life well lived. Death to sin, death to opportunity, death to capability, death to driver's licenses, death to self. But perhaps most importantly for our present moment, it means that we can stop running away from the death of isolation and start running through fear towards the life of community. Every fear of ours is at root a fear of death. And what I don't want you to hear me say is that because Christ has been raised from the dead and because we believe that, that all of a sudden fear doesn't touch us. It's just that we don't have to be afraid of that fear anymore. As I told my daughters and continue to tell them, what does it mean to be brave? To be brave means to be afraid and to do it anyway. We have no need to be afraid of the fear of death. But pay attention this week to when fear drives you away from community. In that moment, remind yourself that on Easter Sunday, Jesus disarmed death for you. Christ put all things under his feet. He frees you to stop running away from death and start running through death towards life. If we hear this, if we believe it, then for some of us, this will be the morning we decide to come back to church. For others, it will be the morning we decide to have the hard conversation we've been putting off. For others, it will be the morning we decide to retire from our jobs or stop holding on so desperately to our children or walk alongside a loved one through their final days. And we can do this because in Jesus Christ, God disarmed death. Alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.